Who can forget those scenes where Andrea Bocelli joins Claudio Ranieri in the middle of the pitch at King Power Stadium to celebrate Leicester City winning the Premier League for the first time ever? Claudio Ranieri's stint was so short, but so memorable for those fans, and just listening to that really, really gets me going. Benvenuti tifosi napoletani to another edition of Far From Vesuvius. I'm your host as always, Rafa Rispo, and this is another edition of Frenemies. It's a special edition, though. It's a Europa League edition, as this Thursday we encounter our first group stage match. Yes, it's Group C. It's Leicester City in the King Power Stadium in Leicester. We travel with our contingency that we thought would be excluded due to COVID protocols in the UK. It turns out that UEFA have lifted that for players playing in South America and in Africa because of the strictness of protocols that these players encounter pretty much day in and day out with their national teams and their clubs. So thankfully, that means we will be traveling with Ospina, Koulibaly, and Victor Osimhen. Also, I should mention that in prior European seasons, suspensions were carried into the next season. Because of the new format in European competitions for 2021 to 2024, by adding the Europa Conference League, by making changes to the Europa League, the suspensions will carry over from the previous season. However, it has to be red card suspensions. So this means that Koulibaly, who was on a suspension from yellow cards from last season in European competition, will be eligible to play, as no longer will yellow card suspensions carry into a new season competition. Only red card suspensions. So had Koulibaly been sent off for a red card, then he would have been not eligible for this match. So the slate is wiped clean for Kalidou Koulibaly. He will play. But expect Spalletti to do a lot of rotating. I do know that Zielinski will start from minute one. That's what he's reportedly had said. He's feeling a lot better from his injury. I also do know that Insigne is going to be a game-time decision, and Mario Rui will likely not start. I think we're going to go with Juan Jesus. I think Manolas is going to sit for Amir Rahmani. And, I think that's pretty much the news on the Napoli front when it comes to this Leicester City match. Before we get to the reason why we're here today, the Frenemies segment, I'd like to help all of us get to know our Europa League opponents this season in Group C. Today, actually, Wednesday, September 15th, was the official start of the group stages of the Europa League. And the first match was the other game in Group C, which is Legia Warsaw playing in Moscow against Spartak Moscow. I'll start with Warsaw because they actually won today 1-0 on a 91st minute goal scored by Lirim Kastrati. Crazy match. I watched it. I was able to watch it today. And honestly, Warsaw didn't look too great. Moscow was really the The exciting team, came so close to scoring a numerous times, especially in the first half. But Legia Warsaw pull off a stunning victory against them. So they are now 3 points at the top of the table. Leicester-Napoli being tomorrow. This the other game in our group. But like I said, let's start with Legia Warsaw. Warsaw is based in Poland, obviously. Warsaw, Poland. They play at the Polish Army Stadium. They are the most successful Polish club in history, winning a record 15 Polish league titles, a record 19 Polish cups, and 4 Polish Super Cup trophies. They're also the only Polish side to never have been relegated from the top flight. This season, they're having a bit of trouble. They're 7 matches in. In their 5 previous matches, they are 2 wins and 3 losses. They sit 16th of 18 teams. They've actually only played 5 matches, but Polish League is up to round 7, so I guess they can gain some ground there, but they are struggling in the league quite a bit as of now. 6 points from 5 matches. Again, 2 matches in hand they have to make up. They are the defending Polish League champions. They did win in 2020-2021. So naturally, being Polish champions, their road to the Europa League group stages went through the Champions League qualifying stage. They entered in the first qualifying round. Their match was against Bodo Glimt, who ended up in the Conference League in Roma's group. But Legia Warsaw ended up winning the aggregate 5-2, moving on to the second qualifying round, where they beat Flora, who also, incidentally, is in the Conference League, winning that on a 3-1 aggregate, but then succumbing to Dinamo Zagreb in the third qualifying round with an aggregate of 2-1. That dropped them into the Europa League playoff round, where they beat Slavia Prague 4-3, and that's how 4-3 on aggregate, and that's how they are in the Europa League group stages this season. On to their opponents from today. Spartak Moscow is a Russian football club from Moscow, having won 12 Soviet championships and a record 10 Russian championships. It's the country's most successful club. They also won a record of 10 Soviet Cups and 3 Russian Cups, and then 1 Russian Super Cup. Spartak have also reached the semifinals of all 3 European club competitions. And when they say 3, they mean European Championship / Champions League, UEFA Cup / Europa League, and the Cup Winners' Cup, the now defunct Cup Winners' Cup. They were the runners-up of last season. That in Russia is good enough for the third qualifying round, where they lost to Benfica on a 4-0 aggregate. So that got them into the Europa League group stages as well. And their form this season is, they currently right now, they sit in 9th place on 3 wins, 3 losses, and a draw after 7 matches played with 10 points. Leicester City, like I will mention in the interview with our frenemy today, they're off to a rocky start. 2 wins from 4. They're 2 wins, 2 losses. So they've got 6 points. They currently sit 9th in the Premier League. They got to the Europa League by finishing 5th place. And like us on the last day, they missed out on the Champions League. The crazy thing about Leicester City is that they occupied Champions League positions in the 36 of the 38 weeks in the season last year, and it was only in the last 2 weeks where they dropped out of Champions League contention. So, bit of a bummer for them. And as you all know, Premier League champions from 2015-2016, the Cinderella story that was Leicester City. And they actually come into this competition as FA Cup champions in England, just like in most other leagues, top leagues. Cup victory guarantees you a group stage spot in the Europa League. They occupied both positions by finishing in 5th place. So technically they enter into the Europa League
as FA Cup winners. But yes, a fifth place finish would have got them group stage anyway last season.
But I bring in today a gentleman by the name of Nathan Leo. He runs the 50 Star Foxes Twitter account, and it is an account that is dedicated to Leicester City. He's from the United States, and we sit down and we talk a lot about some cool things about Leicester City, where they are this season, what they're doing, transfers in and out, how he feels the team is going to look, and also a really coincidental surprise that he's got a very good Napoli fan friend that is a Napoli Twitter fixture. I'm going to say no more. I'm going to let you listen to the conversation. Enjoy it, and I'll be back when it's done. Okay, Tifosi, I have with me from the 50 Star Foxes on Twitter. His name is Nate. How's it going, Nate? How are you today?
It's going pretty good, you know. Coming off a rough loss this weekend, we could have stole some points there against the champions of the Premier League last year, but looking forward to our match Thursday against you guys.
Yes, yes. It's a very mouthwatering fixture. As a matter of fact, it's one that I've actually wanted to see for a while. I mean, the fact that Leicester City did what they did just turned me on to them so much. I'm not a huge fan of English football. I'm really not. But what Leicester City did under Claudio Ranieri as well just really stole my heart. As a matter of fact, I believe former Napoli player Gökhan Inler was part of that squad. Don't remember how much of it he was involved in, but he was part of the squad that won that title. So that further had me attached to them. I can't say that I've followed them closely, but definitely always watched to see what they've done. Before we get into all that, I want to talk a little bit about you, Nate. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about how you started this account, the 50 Stars Foxes, on Twitter.
So I'm a Foxes fan based out of Richmond, Virginia. I originally grew up in New Jersey, where close to that is the New York Foxes supporters group. I'm actually wearing their FA Cup shirt right now.
Oh, that's so moving awesome.
Moving down to Richmond, there wasn't a big Leicester City fan group there. When you go to the bars, it's mostly your typical Man United fans everywhere. So on Twitter, we kind of made a group chat. It's a bunch of guys all over the U.S., even some in Canada, and a couple of guys from Leicester as well. And we decided to make a Twitter account for someone from the U.S., so we started the 50 Star Foxes to kind of bring us together, those lone foxes out there that don't have a supporter group to go with every weekend. It's kind of our little pool to get together, complain about games, about the lineups before a game, and then celebrate victories afterwards.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. As a matter of fact, when I decided, I tell this to everybody, and so everyone listening is probably tired of me hearing me say it, but I started this project called Frenemies, and I wanted to get a whole lot of people who are involved in other teams to come on and talk with me about their club and their passion for their club and what they've done, their stories behind their fandom. What turned you into a Leicester City fan? What was it that did it for you?
So for me, it's a long story. Growing up, I was an ice hockey player.
Yeah.
For some weird reason, hockey players, and in the U.S. we call them soccer players, we hated each other. So I was always turned off by the sport. But in 2006, I have a little Italian in me. So when Italy won the World Cup, I did celebrate a little bit. Me and my dad drove around town. All the Italians were honking their horns. So that was my first taste of it. And then in 2014, really is when I fell in love with the sport, when the U.S. got out of their group.
After they
tied the goal, and they moved out, made it out of the group of death that we called it back then. And really that started the ball rolling. Then in 2015, the following year, I heard about Leicester having this great escape, and I didn't have a team overseas yet because I was just new to supporting the sport. I'm like, hey, I'm a Devil fan. Hockey, we're underdogs. I love an underdog story. Let me hook onto this team. And little did I know that next season they were going to pull off this miracle 5,000-1 victory and take home the Premier League title.
Dude, did you have any money on that? Because that was insane. How much do you wish you had money on that one, huh?
It's so funny because there was a tweet and it was like, if you could go back to your high school self and tell him one thing, what would it be? And I said, take out a loan and just put it on Leicester 5,000-1 and just take home that cash.
I believe Tom Hanks put $500 on Leicester to win the Premier League that year. And yeah, apparently he's a Leicester City fan as well. Unbelievable story. You know, you go from like you winning 8 of your last 9 in one season to escape, you know, relegation to winning the Premier League at 5,000-1 odds. I'll never forget looking at that table going, they'll blow it. The cream always rises to the top. But then, you know, they just did it, you know, and I thought it was really special. So it kind of stuck with me. Also, the next season kind of really for me left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth with them because they fired Ranieri. And, you know, okay, fine. They weren't doing well in the Premier League that season at that point. I mean, I think maybe they were like 13th or 14th, but they were in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. So if going from, you know, the doldrums of English football to escaping relegation to winning the title the next season. So the season after that, being in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and you decide to sack Claudio Ranieri. I mean, I guess it was better for them for the league stance, but then they ended up losing in the quarterfinals. But that's a pretty big feat to go from that to that, and then you know staying kind of relevant from then. Last season, and this is where I feel like the similarities begin with Napoli and Leicester City. Last season, Leicester City missed out on the Champions League by 1 point. After spending the entire season, 36 of 38, actually the first 36 weeks of 38, in Champions League zone, and they missed out by 1 point, but Napoli did too. So fifth place for both teams, but Leicester City goes on and wins their first ever FA Cup. How did you feel about that? Pretty intense moment for you guys there too. I watched that game and I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. You know, even given the circumstances with the owner who passed away in the helicopter accident, that, mind you, put me on the okay, this is the team I'm supporting in England, Leicester City. And this is my dream was to see Leicester City and Napoli face each other from that moment on. I really, really gravitated towards the team. If the title didn't do it, the president dying in a helicopter crash right outside of the stadium, leaving the stadium on air, mind you, did it for me big time. Kasper Schmeichel. You know, the fans, the tribute, the story, you know, getting back to Champions League, hopefully just missing out. And I just, even last year's Europa League draw, I was like, please give me Leicester Napoli. Please give me Leicester Napoli. And now we got it. But how did that FA Cup feel for you? How do you feel about Leicester this season as well?
There's so many things I want to touch upon. Like, one, Kasper, having him at this club, I feel honored because the things he's had to deal with club and nation and how he's been such a true leader, I'm just proud to call him a fox. And on top of that, yeah, last year was heartbreaking, missing out on that last day, especially considering the year before with the pandemic. I think we spent over 200 days in the top four and missed out on the last day again. But that FA Cup win, for most Foxes fans, righted those two wrongs, we would say, because we, that's the one piece we've been missing. And for me, I got to watch the first half, but unfortunately I had to drive down to South Jersey during the second half. So I was listening to the game on the radio through PBC radio. And when Jiří scored that goal, I almost drove my car off the side of the road. I was so excited. It was just, I can't explain how I felt. I just got chilled all over my body when I heard them call that goal.
Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic goal too. It was, really was. So let's talk about transfers in and out. You had a couple of pretty decent moves coming in. But one in particular going out, Dennis Pryett went to Torino. So that's a little bit of a familiar name for me. I've known him for a bit, seeing him on Leicester. He comes to Serie A, so we get to see him play every week. But coming in, you had Patson Daka, you have Vestergaard, Yannick Vestergaard from Denmark. You know, getting into the first team, Ryan Bertrand also. And then there's Somare, the defensive midfielder. Tell us about the transfers in and how you feel like they're going to impact Leicester for this season. Now, I know, you know, off to a medium start, 2 wins from 4, 2 losses. You mentioned the loss to City, hard fought, but in a losing effort. How do you feel, you know, it's early, but how do you feel about the season coming up and those transfers in particular and how they can impact this team?
In regards to the transfers, it was much needed. The last 2 years, if you ask any Fox fan, we missed out on Champions League because of our depth. Mm-hmm. And both those signings, they could hop into the first team. And we saw it a little bit in preseason. And hopefully they'll have a good force in showing in the Europa League. They can hop into a first team and really make their mark. So I am so proud of what this club could do, especially because usually with Leicester, we wait until the end of the window to make some big moves. Mm-hmm. But this year they had 2 or 3 linings signed up during the season that, even before the window opened, we heard leaks that they were done and dusted, ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy to have these new signings. In regards to the season, we definitely didn't come off on the strongest foot. Even the games we've won, we haven't looked the best. Our best game has been against City, no doubt about that. So I definitely think moving forward, playing well against City will definitely bode well with these upcoming fixtures, because I think the next 3 weeks, we have 2 games a week. Each week.
Yeah, this is where the season really gets. It's funny because as a Napoli fan, we get really excited about the first couple weeks we win. You know, last season we won our first 4, you know, this season we won our first 3. We're unbeaten, you know, in the league. But it really doesn't hit you until European season starts, where you got, you know, match after match after match coming up. Now, I mean, we have Udinese on Monday, who normally would be I wouldn't say a walk in the park, but, you know, likely a victory. They're also unbeaten, you know. You know, and this is where, you know, the meat of the schedule starts coming, and you play, you know, every few days. What transfer would you have liked not to see happen? Like, if we can talk about any transfers going out, like somebody that you guys got rid of. I mentioned Pryett to Torino. It's a loan deal. But what would you say is one of the players that are gone that you probably would rather have back in here?
I mean, it's tough because this is the first window, I think, since we won the league that we didn't sell anyone. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Dennis Brown loan, he's a world-class player. But he just wasn't getting playing time, and mm-hmm. he wanted to play. And Brendan's always said, if they don't want to be here, we're going to let them go because it's what they want. If you're not 100% with the club, it's going to show on the field. Right. So this is the first year, I think, people who left. I think one of our youth players, Sidney Tavares, he mm-hmm. left. It wasn't a transfer. I think he would just walk down a free. He might be one of the ones I could say we're going to miss just because he showed some promise in the game or two he played with the first club in the Premier League last year. But besides that, I think this was an A-plus transfer window, considering we lost our star youth defender in a preseason friendly on a dangerous tackle. And within the next 2 weeks, we brought in Vestergaard, who definitely is a world-class player as well with Denmark and now with us.
Yeah, and touching on your current roster, you know, you've got last season you brought in Timothy Castagne, who is very familiar with Napoli fans, coming in from Udinese. You also, like, you know, Tielemans is there as a fixture in the squad, but you also have Ndidi and trying to pronounce his name all day. Iheanacho. Those two, Ndidi and Klecki, being Nigerian, and Osimhen in Napoli, Nigerian as well. You know, when we visit the King Power, Osimhen will be available for the match. There was a lot of talk about it was Osimhen, Ospina, and Koulibaly were in doubt because of the FIFA internationals and the fact that they visited red zone countries and they were not permitted into the UK based on their COVID protocols. But just I believe it was earlier today or late last night, UEFA had determined that they are safe to travel, so they will be available for the match. So they'll be encountering each other Thursday for the match. How do you see the match going? I mean, first match of the group this year, winning the group, and I'm not sure if you realize this, but winning the group is a big, big thing for Europa League teams this season because it guarantees a bye in the February return to European play. There's an additional knockout round for second place teams in groups in the Europa League and meeting up with third place teams from the Champions League, meaning the winner of the group will get a bye into March. Huge, huge, especially big for teams that have players leaving for the African Cup of Nations in January. And we both have players that play in Europe, in Africa. Tell me how big the matches between each other, Leicester and Napoli, are, and how do you feel it's going to go down? And before you answer that, I really want to ask if you've seen the video from Leicester City on Twitter when the draw was going on, their immediate reaction when Leicester City drew Napoli in the group, and how much respect they gave to Napoli. I think just watching them sort of like react that they couldn't have drawn a worse team, they couldn't have had a worse draw for them, really said a lot about how others outside of Italy see Napoli. How do you feel about it?
I mean, me and my buddy Sal, he runs, I'm pretty sure it's the East Bay Napoli Twitter. We joked at the end of last season that.
Oh, is that your friend? Is that your friend, Sal? East Bay Napoli. I know exactly who that is. Wow, small world, man.
Small world.
Yeah.
But we joked once we saw like the odds that Leicester and Napoli both are plus 1400 each to win Europa. We're like, we're drawing each other. It's happening. So when we got it, like, yeah, it's awful because both our teams lost in the round of 32 last year. We know how important that bye is. So it would have been nice to not draw each other. But hey, who doesn't want to watch the two best odd favorites go at it twice in group stages? It's going to make for some exciting matches.
Yeah, it is. Do you see a potential for like rotation after playing against City? You know, I mean, these are kinds of fixtures that you dread, isn't it? When the European schedule comes out, I'm always looking at, okay, who does Napoli have to play before and after what team? So it was like, oh my God, we have Juventus and then Leicester City. What are we going to do? Oh my goodness. And then I looked and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Leicester has Man City before Napoli too. So everyone kind of goes through it. How do you see Brendan Rodgers, who I think is a fantastic manager, mind you, How do you see him lining up against Napoli?
I could definitely see some rotation. I mean, it's the reason we brought in these signings is we need squad depth so players don't get injured like last year or burn out. But I think there's going to be more rotation on our attack. I think he's going to keep a similar back line to what we had against City. I made like a prediction starting 11. I think we're going to have like Ricardo Pereira, Vestergaard, Soyuncu, and Bertrand starting at his back four. And then having Kelechi and Daka up front. I think those would be the two big changes we make. Concerning Daka came in as a signing, and he's one of our most experienced European players because he's played in the Champions League and in the Europa League multiple years.
Great, great. Yeah, Slavia Prague taking you guys out last season. Don't feel too bad. We got knocked out by Granada. It was terrible.
Both those games were so painful to watch.
So your buddy is East Bay Napoli. Does this mean that you sort of are like a Napoli sympathizer? Like, do you watch any of Serie A? Do you watch any Napoli at all? Are you like kind of like me, where, you know, if it's on, I'm watching it? Like, I watched their win against, it was 2-1. Norwich City, was it? They beat. Yeah. I watched the whole game. It was right after we drew you guys. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. But if I don't watch it, I'm always like, what's Leicester doing? What's Leicester doing? Are you the same way with Napoli, or do you have another club in Italy that you kind of like? Tell me about that.
No, it's definitely, I keep an eye on Napoli, and I don't like support, like, Leicester's my team, but I watch Napoli. I hope they do well. Like, yeah. Actually, one of the guys who helps me run the 50 Star Foxes, his whole family is from there, and they're big Napoli supporters. That's his second team as well. So it's pretty fun that our account has that going as well.
Very cool. And you guys are a young Twitter group, right? I see that. Yeah. You just kind of opened this up a few months ago. Yeah. I'm really happy you reached out to me. I've tried a little bit to, like, you know, I followed a couple of other Leicester City accounts. I was like doing a search, Leicester City USA, Leicester City America. I wanted to get someone from the States to talk to about Leicester City, because I'm like, there's got to be somebody out there who's running some sort of an account about Leicester City in the US. And I'm really glad it was you, because it's really ironic how you're friends with Napoli East Bay, and how your first real like experience in football culture, soccer, however you want to call it, was the 2006 World Cup, which I have very fond memories of. So I, and you being from, you know, North Jersey, and me being from South New York. Yeah. I think the connection is really cool. I'm glad that it was you that reached out to me. Can you tell us a little bit more about your plans for this Twitter group, your plans for the club? I also see that you follow a lot of like national team stuff, United States national team, women's national team, and all that. Do you guys have any like sort of plans to grow, plans to expand, anything else going on? What's going on with the 50 Star Foxes?
So right now, like I said, we're new. Our biggest thing is there's us. I know we have the US Foxes podcast, which is guys from San Diego. And if there's anyone who's asking, hey, is there a support group near me? We'll do some research to see if there's a local support group and help them find them. We're really big on following both Leicester City's men's and women's, because our women's team has the full support of our club. They're actually, all their home games, besides when there's a conflict with the men's team, are played at the King Power Stadium this year, which is huge for the women's game. But going forward, I think it's more of just growing our brand on Twitter. And when we get enough people in our group, hopefully we can reach out to the club and become an official supporters group of the Foxes, get a banner over there at the King Power. And then, hey, when we play each other in the second leg, I'd gladly come back on and talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that. And if you ever need anything from us at Far From Vesuvius, or me, I got my other project, the Raf and Raf Rant, where I'm with my buddy Raf Bizarro. We do a lot of stuff there. Anything you ever need, you get a hold of me when it comes to, you know, us playing each other, collabing. You never know. We play each other in the last match of the season, or the last match of the group stage anyway. And then if we each get out of it and the one who finishes second gets to the next knockout stage, we may end up meeting each other in and around the final. I mean, when you think about it, going into this competition, it's Lazio's in there too, and they're pretty strong under Maurizio Sarri, but it's Napoli and it's Leicester City. Who else are really going to be, you know? I mean, there's a lot of tough teams, the new format of the Europa League, but when I saw the field, I'm like, oh, wow, this could either be Napoli's or Leicester City's tournament to win. So I'm very excited about the game. I'm very excited that it's going to be two full squads going at it. Spalletti is also pretty keen on rotating the squad, so it's going to be interesting to see what else we play with aside from the normal 11 in Serie A. But I wish you nothing but the best, Nate. Good luck watching it. I'm going to have fun tweeting with you back and forth. I'm sure. Let's do it. Let's tweet each other back and forth during the match. Anything else you want to share before you go?
Well, one thing, back to my buddy, Sal, East Bay, Napoli. We have a little friendly wager that whichever team finishes with the better record between our two legs in the group stage, the loser has to donate $100 to the charity of our choice. I picked the Vichai Foundation from our owner who passed away, and he picked the Cannavaro Ferrara.
Oh, dude. Foundation.
So no matter what happens, someone wins at the end of this.
So can you go over that again? What's the winner of the two legs or the winner of one leg? Is it just this match that you're wagering?
It's both matches. So, and we said if it ends in a dead tie, we're both going to donate the $100.
Okay, well, let me go on record and saying that I will match Sal's contribution if Napoli do lose. Okay? How about that? So if Napoli are the losers out of this bet, I'll go ahead and match Sal's contribution. I'll get a hold of Sal, and I'll make sure I get him as much money as he's going to donate if that happens to the Vichai. Because I'm telling you, that story touched my heart immensely. I watched it live as it happened. Yeah. So I was just like, you know, bottom lip quivering. I'm an easy crier. It was tough for me. And it really, really made me feel for Leicester and make me root for them the rest of the way. You know, as much as I don't like English football, I absolutely care about Leicester City. So I will promise to do that as well. I want to thank you so much for coming on with us today, Nate. Best of luck the rest of the season. I'll see you in December. How about that? We'll do this again in December. We'll talk about how Napoli is about 20 points ahead in Serie A and how Leicester City is about 20 points ahead in the league because they're going to catch up. How about that?
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, my man. Thank you very much, Nate.
Thank you.
Okay, Tifosi, that was Nate from the 50 Stars Foxes on Twitter, at the 50 Stars Foxes. That's at the 50 Star Foxes. Give him a follow, please. Really cool dude, as you heard. He is there to unite and get to know Leicester City fans from all around the country. It's really cool in that he's got an Italian background. He began his Calcio/football journey in 2006 with the World Cup, and then got serious about Leicester City when, you know, the like he likes to call, the Great Escape inspired him to follow. And then the very next season, they win a title. I forgot to mention to him that he's lucky, because a lot of Leicester City fans, I'm sure, waited a lifetime to watch them
win a Premier League or English championship, and he gets one season, one season in, and they win it. But I believe, you know, I'm fully believe that he appreciates the history of it. He seems like a very intellectual football fan, very passionate, very true. I absolutely love the bet with him and Napoli East Bay, Sal from Napoli East Bay. The losing fan is donating $100 to their charity, and for Nate, it'll be the Vichai Foundation, and for Sal, it'll be the Cannavaro Ferrara Foundation, which I'm absolutely over the moon about. I think it's amazing. I'm going to promote that to till the end of it, and I am serious about entering into that donation. I absolutely will do that. I hope that they have inspired other people to donate to their favorite, you know, foundations. If there's a way anybody can donate to something that they believe in, even if it's just a little bit, please go out and do it. I do this. We do this. We pay to do this. We put out our own money to do things like this for free, for nothing, because of it's a passion. Because it's something that we enjoy doing. It's a release. And I am very much inspired by them to do something myself to donate. So I'm going to start by donating $100 if Napoli lose to the Ferrara Cannavaro Foundation. And yeah, I think that's just an amazing, amazing thing. I love the idea, and they've inspired me to do so much more. All right, you guys. Hopefully, we win. like I said, donating is cool, but winning the group is vital for Napoli. That first knockout stage, missing that first knockout stage by winning the group is huge, because it's going to give us a break until March instead of February. So we need to get that. We need to get a win under our belt. So I hope everybody enjoys the match. We'll be back later this week with more. Please don't forget to check out Raf and Raf Rant for the post-match Leicester City-Napoli. And I'll see you all soon. Ciao for now. Forza Napoli 17.